from Wall Street to the White House. This is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're going to do some money in politics. We've got Monica Crowley, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury and host of the Monica Crowley podcast. And we have Steve Moore, famed WABC radio host of More Money, which follows this show and many of these same stations. And in his spare time, he helps out Freedom Works and Heritage and the Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline. Welcome back, kids. Steve Moore, Joe Biden says we can tax our way into prosperity. One of the beautiful things about his unbeautiful State of the Union message was he wants to tax just about everything. Individuals, corporations, investors, unrealized capital gains. Steve Moore, is that going to work? Tax your way into prosperity?
Hey, Larry. Great to be with you. Hi, Monica. First of all, I have to say that that was probably the most combative and partisan State of the Union speeches I've heard in my lifetime. And I've been listening to these for a long time. So I thought it was an in-your-face kind of speech that really didn't appeal to at least half of Americans, but it certainly appealed to the Democrats in Congress. I think it's really important for people to understand from that speech that these people aren't fooling around, that if Joe Biden gets a second term, and if there's a Democratic Congress, there's an excellent editorial in the Wall Street Journal, either yesterday or today about this, that they will raise taxes on virtually every element of the economy that makes our economy work. So they want to tax unrealized capital gains. They want to raise taxes on American corporations. And Larry, you and I and Monica help work to get that tax rate down from the highest in the world to, you know, below the average. And Biden wants to take it to the second highest rate in the world. I mean, how in the world is that putting America first when we're going to have the second highest tax on our businesses? If you're an investor, you're going to pay a capital gains tax that's almost double what it is today. And so put it all together, an investor, if they make $1 million in investment, let's say they make $1 million on that, they're going to pay a tax rate, Larry, of 50, 60, or even 70%. It's crazy. It is all, it's not about growth. It's all about income redistribution and soak the rich.
Class warfare. Monica, you're an expert on class warfare. I just want to bring that in. And you know, Biden says the rich don't pay their fair share, quote unquote. So, I mean, the Committee to Unleash Prosperity Hotline has run this. We've all run these charts. Right. The fact of the matter is the top 1% pays almost half, all right, 46% of the income tax. They make 26% of the income. So let's look. They make about a quarter of the income, but they pay half of the taxes on that income. Now, Monica, I think that's fair. That's too fair. Biden says it's unfair. They don't pay their fair share, but he has no data, no factoids to back up this old left-wing Democratic class warfare charge. Now, my question is, politically, Monica Crowley, is this nonsense? Is this Democratic PAP crap going to sell or not?
Well, hi, Larry and Steve. It's always great to be with you. Thanks for having me. Yeah, you know, I wrote a column yesterday for Newsweek, and I posted it all over my social media. So please go check it out. It's also at newsweek.com. And I was making the point about the class warfare, which, you know, Biden throughout his career has always been this toxic demagogic hack. Right now, he's a toxic demagogic hack who has learned at the foot of Barack Obama. Barack Obama was really a true socialist, believed in radical wealth redistribution, and all of Obama's policies were geared to that end. Biden served for 8 years as his vice president and learned a lot about class warfare, and also now understands that that is where the Democratic Party is. The party is driven by the radical socialist Marxist left. That's where all of the energy and activism are in their party. So as a sop to them, and now, frankly, I think Biden actually believes this, the class warfare stuff has political weight to it. It's got political firepower to it. And so, of course, he is leveling all of these charges that are completely unfair and antithetical to, number one, free market economics, which they seek to destroy, but also antithetical to the very foundation of America. But again, guys, that is the point. These people are destroyers. They're essentially revolutionaries that seek to tear down the entire system of government and our free market capitalist system. That is the objective. So does it surprise me that he engages in this class warfare? No, not at all, because that's where their party is. But the American people need to understand exactly how destructive it all is.
But if you're here's the thing I want to, if you're a middle class, I'm going to call them working stiff. If you're working stiff, I don't care what your color race is. Okay, white, black, Hispanic, brown, Latino, women. If you're a working stiff and you're earning $50,000-$60,000 a year, right? Median income in this country, I think, is about $65,000. Why do you care, or why do you want to punish people who make more money? I think instead what you want is a pay raise for yourself. And the problem with the Biden attack on rich people is that middle-class working stiffs have had a pay cut under Biden because of the inflation and the high prices, whereas under Trump, they had a pay increase. I mean, I'll tell you what the numbers are. Under Biden, 3 years' worth of data, they've lost, average weekly earnings have fallen 5%, 4.9%. They've fallen for 3 years. Under Trump, they went up 9%. See, that to me, Steve Moore, and I'll put it out to both of you. That's what the vast middle class wants. They want a pay raise. They don't care about penalizing rich people or unrealized capital gains. In other words, Biden and the left misses the point entirely. And it's the working stiffs who are deserting the Democratic coalition, and they're coming over to Trump. That's what I think's going on here.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it's what Reagan used to call real after-tax take-home pay.
Yes.
And that's how he beat Jimmy Carter, remember? Because people felt like their paychecks were shrinking relative to what they could buy. That's exactly what's happened under Biden. And by the way, you know, I'm looking at some of these indicators on inflation. The commodity index continues to rise. I'm surprised that so many people think that this inflation problem is behind us. I don't believe that. But I'll put another fine point on what you said, that if you look at annual incomes, the under Trump, and this is after tax, Larry, and after inflation, the average family gained about $6,200 in 4 years. That's a big gain. That's a huge gain. Under Biden, the average American is $2,000 poor. And that's why I thought that the Biden speech of triumphalism was so out of touch with what Americans are really experiencing in terms of, you know, going to the grocery store. I mean, all you have to do is go to the grocery store and you see people are angry about how much things cost. So I don't know. I don't get this idea of saying, gee, if we just bash the rich, everybody's going to be better off. You know, my old buddy and one of my mentors, the great Dick Armey, used to say, you know, that liberals love jobs, but they hate employers.
Yeah, no,
and you know, those people.
Jack Kemp used to say
those
that.
Those are the people in the top 2, 3, 4, 5%, and they create jobs. And this assault against wealth and employers, I think, is so antithetical, as Monica was just saying. It's antithetical to what America is all about.
See, think about this, Monica. People who work in the private sector, now forget about the government unions. That's a different game. But most people work in the private sector. Most, all right? It's about 150 million, 152 million people. Here's the point. These working stiffs, they come to work every day, and they see Biden saying, I'm going to jack up taxes on companies, the corporations.
Right.
They know that means they're not going to get a wage increase. Because if the company has to pay more in taxes, their profits are going to be less, and there's not going to be money left over to increase wages. The beauty of the Trump tax cuts on corporations is the biggest winners were the wage earners. So if Democrats do not understand this, They do. But I think, you know, Trump's got to make this case. I'm just saying, Monica, you got to go out and make this case. I want you to work harder, Monica Crowley. You have to make this case.
One point of disagreement. I think that the Democrats do understand it, Larry, and they just reject it. They understand how free market capitalism works. They understand it. They just reject it. And they're on a different trajectory. To your point about the average man and woman who was busting their tail every day to put food on the table and keep a roof over their kids' heads, they don't care about this class warfare. In fact, the vast majority of Americans reject it because America is an aspirational society. Mm. We don't hate the rich. We all aspire to be the rich. But when you are led by these kinds of socialist revolutionaries who reject it all and want to replace it with a wholly different system, their objective is to tear it down. So, you know, all people are economically rational. All people are economically rational. They want to make more money. They want to improve their lot in life. And their lived experience now under Biden and the Democrats is the exact opposite of their lived experience under Trump and the Republicans.
I'll tell you.
They had more money in their pocket. Gas was $2.39 a gallon when Trump left office. Inflation was 1.4% when Trump left office. And one other final point here on the average men and women, the forgotten men and women, as Trump calls them in this country. They understand what Trump delivered for them personally.
All right.
Not some pie in the sky ideological jihad.
I got to practice. I got to practice some capitalism. We need a commercial break to keep this show alive. Steve Moore's here. Monica Crowley's here. I'm Kudlow. When we come back, I want to talk about TikTok. Should we abolish TikTok in the U.S.? Be right back, folks.
Larry Kudlow.
Hi, it's Lou Dobbs for Priority Gold, America's precious metals dealer. These are volatile times with high inflation, soaring debt, wars on multiple continents, and rising financial stress. Central banks are buying gold to diversify their reserves, so are many Americans. Call Priority Gold and find out how precious metals can help you diversify your portfolio. They're highly rated and happy to help. Call 1-866-303-6357 or get a free gold guide at PriorityGoldGuide.com. That's PriorityGoldGuide.com.
From Wall Street to the White House, this is the Larry Kudlow Show.
Welcome back, folks. I'm Larry Kudlow. We're talking to Monica Crowley, former Assistant Secretary of the Treasury, host of the Monica Crowley podcast, and we're talking to Steve Moore, who's the WABC radio host of More Money right after this show on most of these same stations. I want to talk, kids, about TikTok. The House reporting out of committee a bill that would ban TikTok. It has bipartisan support. Essentially, the bill seeks to force ByteDance, the Chinese company, to divest itself of TikTok, which is, of course, the app. It's got tremendous, tremendous following, but the Chinese are using it for propaganda purposes and also to acquire personal information of a couple of hundred million Americans. So I want to start with this controversial matter. I think it's going to come to the floor of the House, and it may go to the Senate. Monica Crowley, what do you think about the TikTok story? Should it be banned, or should we force at least a divestiture from the Chinese company ByteDance?
Yeah, you know, what's interesting, Larry, is that I saw President Trump wade in and on Truth Social yesterday, and he was making the point that we should not get rid of TikTok because it would further empower Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. And he pointed to the fact that Zuckerberg plowed about $500 million into helping to tilt the 2020 election against him. So he put a stake in the ground, and then Rand Paul chimed in to Trump's comment, and he said, yeah, based on First Amendment protections, we should not be banning TikTok. However, the American people need to understand, and I would guess that the vast majority of people listening to us today probably have TikTok on their phones. You should not have TikTok on your phone. First of all, TikTok is a Chinese Communist Party. It's a CCP information warfare tool. right? So it is a surveillance tool for the Chinese Communist Party. So when it's on your phone, it has access to everything you have on your phone, all of your data, banking, social media activity, anything you do on your phone, the Chinese Communist Party then has a window into what you are doing. And in terms of the information warfare, TikTok is actually brainwashing our young people and frankly anybody else on the app with pure propaganda. And the way that the phones are set up and the app is set up, the camera on your phone is now actually watching you react to videos that you're watching on TikTok, and they can use facial recognition to see if you're upset or happy or whatever. So the point is that this is a Trojan horse into especially our younger generations. So at the very least, Larry, I advocate for forcing a divestiture of TikTok and then having the code be completely rewritten with an American company.
That's the thing. The code has to be rewritten, and the software has to be redone. President Trump's posting on Truth Social was very interesting to me. I'm not sure I understand, because when he was president, we had several executive orders attempting to curb TikTok, and we tried to work up a plan to divest it from ByteDance, which is the communist-run Chinese company, Steve Moore. So I'm not sure I understand what President Trump's getting at. It's a reversal of his prior view. But to all of Monica's points, which I think make a lot of sense, this thing may be rumbling through Congress. And I don't know. What do you think about it?
Well, I'm not an expert on social media, and I don't use a lot of social media. But let's start with the fact that 150 million people do use TikTok. So when you've got a product that people are using, you know, I do believe in free enterprise. The public is voting, and they love it. I mean, one of the people who loves TikTok is my wife, Anne. She's showing me all the videos all the time on TikTok. I don't use it, but you know, so I'm pro consumer. People want to use TikTok, they should be able to, and if they don't want to, you know, if they're concerned about the China connections, they should turn it off. I think individuals should be making these decisions, not government. I do think in the end of the day that probably some kind of divestiture is the only real solution that I can see. You know, and I think it probably makes sense for the future of TikTok to probably figure out ways they can divest themselves from, Chinese influences. But I also agree with Donald Trump that, you know, the best way, I'm tired of some of my conservative friends saying, oh, you know, we can't regulate what our kids are doing and what they're watching, so the government has to do it. And I think that's a dumb solution. Mm. You know, I don't want conservatives running to the government to regulate our industries.
You know, the issue of government censorship comes in here.
Yeah.
But it's interesting. But remember, China has a lot to do. I mean, the stuff that Monica was saying is very true. China has a lot to do with the content that runs through TikTok. Now, as you say, the consumer use of TikTok is one thing, okay? And we should have freedoms on that. But they're sending messages out that are undermining American culture and the American system and American security.
But Larry,
isn't
Facebook.
That an issue?
So does Facebook and Google and all these other, you know, tech companies. They do the same thing.
So what what do we do about that, Monica?
I don't know.
Undermining American culture and brainwashing these kids. We now actually have evidence that TikTok played a huge role. The CCP via TikTok played a huge role in the Antifa and Black Lives Matter protests in 2020, and that they're playing a key role in getting all these people into the streets to defend Hamas against Israel. So the protests that you see in the streets, a lot of this now is being driven by the Chinese Communist Party via TikTok to brainwash, you know, young people on the app, get them out to the streets. The things that they are seeing on TikTok are tailor-made for them because they are being watched and surveilled. And then the algorithm is very fleet of foot. And it is targeting these people to destabilize the United States. So this isn't just, you know, I agree with you on Facebook, etc. But this is our most existential enemy having a direct hand in destabilizing our society.
By the way, Steve, one other related question. I mean, the issue with Facebook and Zuckerbucks and, you know, undermining the election in 2020 is an important issue. Now, I think the new leadership at the Republican National Committee and the Trump campaign understands this, and they're going to fight back on get out early voting and harvesting. This is a very, I mean, in a sense, I hope we've learned the lesson so that the Democrats can't pull this or Zuckerbucks can't pull this again. I've talked to Laura Trump about this at some length, and I said, you got to get ready. Are you ready? Are you ready to stop them when they try to manipulate the election, Steve Moore? Big issue.
Yeah, I've always said that if it's a fair election, I think Trump, you know, is going to win. But with all of these tactics that the left uses, including using social media against us, we've got to stop it. You're right. Because this is one of the most important elections in maybe 20 years.
Yeah, maybe more. All right, kids. I think we're going to have to wrap it up. We're running out of time. Monica Crowley, thank you. Steve Moore. More Money comes on right after this show on many of these same stations. I'm Kudlow. We will be back next weekend. Thanks for listening, folks.